I want to take a few moments today, and I want to talk to you about the gifts of Christmas. And I want to express how so very thrilled I am that you are here today to celebrate the Lord Jesus' birthday. And here's what I want us to do. I want all of us to determine to do this. I want us to determine that we're going to make Jesus happy on His birthday. Now come on, work with me today and let me know if what I say is right. I believe this about Jesus. We've so trivialized Christmas, we kind of forget who Jesus really is. I believe Jesus has the capacity to be sad, and I believe Jesus has the capacity to be happy. And so our goal today, I want to talk to you about some things that I think will make Jesus happy today. And by the way, if you were not here last Sunday and you were wondering about our upside-down Christmas tree, very unique, isn't it? Went into a Harley-Davidson shop, I believe it was in Paris, Texas, saw the upside-down Christmas tree. I thought, man, that'll make a great illustration. I talked about last week how to turn Christmas upside down. We've kind of come to the conclusion here that Christmas needs to be turned upside down in a good way. So, hey, if you want to see that message, you can go online, and it's there in your bulletin, the place on the website, and you can watch that message. I'll tell you, I really believe it will encourage you. Now, when I think about life and people, I believe this. I believe that the most important day in any person's life is the day that they are born. Why do I believe that? Because their life represents life. It's a new birth into the earth, and someone is born. And let me tell you, I think God gets absolutely excited about the birth of another human being in the earth. Psalms 139 tells us how special we are to God on that day that we are born. I encourage you, if you're not familiar with Psalms 139, go read the psalm. Be very acquainted with it, especially the latter portion of it. And let me just go on to say, it not only talks about how God rejoices in the day of our birth, but it talks about how that even when we're in our mother's womb, God is there doing a fabulous, marvelous, wonderful work in our life in preparing us. I encourage you to go read it. I believe this. I believe that it is important to recognize people that you value and that you love on their birthday. I have a deep conviction about this. Now, granted, you can't recognize everyone in your life that you would like to. Though Hallmark has all those wonderful cards available and they express the sayings that we all want to say to our loved ones, and so we go buy a Hallmark card. But how many of you know they are not cheap? Then you add a little postage to it today, and you've got an expensive gift going. But let me tell you, I really encourage you to recognize the people that you value and that you love and that are special in your life on this special day. In fact, I believe birthdays are more important to recognize in someone's life than maybe some other time of the year. I want to encourage you to do that. And go ahead, help Hallmark out. They probably need a little more cash flow, and God knows the Postal Service does. Now, I know some of you, when I talk about this, you're thinking, I don't like birthdays. I don't even want to think about my birthday. You know why you don't want to think about your birthday? Because then you have to think about your age. That's the part of birthdays that we don't like. It's the age thing. It's how old we're getting. But let me just tell you something. Everyone, I don't care what they say, wants to be remembered on that special day of their life. If you could somehow do this without helping them realize that they're getting older, let me promise you, even the hardest guys, I don't want any of that, the Scrooge guy, I don't want any Christmas stuff, just forget that stuff. Let me tell you, everybody wants to be remembered and everybody wants to be recognized. Because why? Because we have value. And God has put value in us. And we should take the time to recognize one another. Now, are you with me today? Because I want you to think about this. I don't think Jesus is any different. I said it earlier. What I want to do is help us take the trivialization that has been brought about in Christmas. Christmas is so trivialized now. But let me tell you, Jesus has a birthday, and we're so thankful that we get to celebrate His birthday. I love the Christmas season. I love the build-up to it. I love everything about it. And I'm so grateful that on this particular Christmas day, we get to celebrate His birth on the day that we traditionally celebrate His birthday. But I want to tell you something. I think Jesus likes to be recognized. And the Bible bears this out, and hopefully I'll be able to show you this in just a moment. But when I think about the birth of Jesus, I think about the Christmas story. And I'm going to read that story to you in just a moment. But I think about all that transpired in that brief moment. I think about the shepherds who had the angels appear to them. And Tracy and I feel so very grateful. We have been able to be to the site where literally they believe that the angels appeared to the shepherds and announced that the Savior was coming. We've been able to be there. I'm saying it's awesome. But I think about the shepherds, and I think about the angels, and I also certainly think about Joseph and Mary. But I also think about the wise men. And I think about the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. By the way, if you study the Bible and you study a little history, these were not cheap gifts. They were gifts of value. And here's something else I think about gifts. They were practical gifts. Hello, everybody. How many of you ever received a gift that wasn't very practical? Anybody? Yeah, we've all done that. I think Jesus likes gifts. I think He likes gifts that are given with thought. And I think He likes them given to Him in a practical way. It's true. Now, I read this week about 18 of the worst presents ever received. This is true. This is not made up. Here's number one on the list. It says, I once received a toilet seat. Well, that's what you want for Christmas, a toilet seat. How about this one? Number two, the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. And the person receiving it said this, I was in high school and I wasn't even dating. Here's another one. Number three, a very nice sweater that someone had worn, stained, and re-gifted to me. This is true. Number four, this one really got me. I got my own Christmas gift back the next year. You better write down who gave you what. Here's number five, says a subscription to Nutrisystem's weight loss program. Don't do it. Number six, these are bad. How about this one? A bar of soap. What does that say about you if your kinfolk are giving you a bar of soap? Number seven, this will make you laugh, a turquoise mankini. And the guy says, listen to this, that's not any of it. He says, and I'm 60 years old and I weigh 250 pounds. That's what every man needs is a mankini. Turquoise on top of that. Number eight, an ironing board from my now ex-husband. Here's another one, a bag of cotton balls. How about that one? Here's one, number 10, a Christmas tree ornament. And the guy says, I'm Jewish. How many of you know Jewish people do not normally celebrate Christmas in the way that we do? Here's one that, well, it's just absolutely gross. Number 11, a pill vial designed like a white elephant and filled with the baby teeth of my friend's children. Yeah, that's right. Ooh. Yeah, let that one soak in a little while. Maybe we ought to move on. Number 12, Legos. And the person says, I'm 34 years old. You don't give Legos to a 34-year-old person. And number 13, I received a book on Chinese culture written in Chinese. One of the most complex languages in the world is Chinese. Number 14, a doorknob. Oh, here's a good one. Everyone wants this gift. Number 15, a used spatula. I thought, did it have egg on it? What did it have on it? I mean, potato? I don't know. This is true. Number 17, a book of etiquette from my mother-in-law. I got to say, I'm so thankful my mother and father-in-law are here, as well as Tracy's uncle, and I'm so glad they're here. Three of the most gracious and giving and caring people that I know in the world, and that is the truth, and I'm so very glad that they could be here on this day with us. Did I mention number 18, dental floss? We did give our kids dental floss in their stocking one year. All right, let me read the Christmas story to you. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from an eastern land arrived in Jerusalem asking, Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judea. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. I like this. Then they opened their treasuries, or their treasure chest, and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I like that. Now, in this story, the first Christmas, the wise men gave three gifts. And so what I want to do this morning for just a moment is I want to talk to you about three gifts that we can give to Jesus that I believe, and this is our goal today, that will really make Jesus happy. How many of you, let me see your hand, how many of you really want to make Jesus happy on his birthday? Come on, I think all of us do. I do. I think these three gifts will do that. And by the way, I just happen to have three gifts with me today. And I prayed a lot about this. By the way, in gift number one, now, by the way, I may want to just demonstrate a little bit how our grandkids open their gifts. How many of you watch the grandkids open gifts? I mean, it just, they go wild. And then they find it. Let me tell you the number one gift that I believe that we can give Jesus today. It is the gift of gratitude. The gift of gratitude. Now, I really did pray about these things. I thought, you know, who do you give? What do you give the man who has everything? What do you give the God who owns everything? You give him gratitude. And I think we can do that on this Christmas day because the Bible is very clear about how God feels about gratitude or thankfulness. I'm going to read Psalms 100 verses 1 through 5 to you. This is just a sampling. I could just stop and really, I saw so much in this psalm this morning. I could just preach an hour on what's in this psalm. Psalms 100 verse 1 says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth." Folks, listen to me. I don't have time to share everything I want to, but it's okay to get excited about God and worship Him. Amen? He says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge the Lord." Why? Because He is God. He has made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Here's what He says. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving." Folks, I think we ought to come to church with the decision made to be thankful. Let me just stop in the middle of this reading and say, I've learned this about gratitude. I've learned this about thankfulness. It is a decision. It is not a feeling. It's not about your circumstances. Being grateful is a decision, and it's all based upon what God has done for us. He says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good." It goes on to say, "His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to all generations." To me, this is absolutely an amazing psalm. I want you to think with me for just a moment because here's some things that I've written down. I want you to listen to them. You and I will go a lot further in life when we have a heart of gratitude than if we don't. Everybody I know wants to do something. They want to make a mark in life. Let me tell you, gratitude, I believe, is the number one key. And by the way, as I'm sharing these things, you realize this is for Jesus today. This isn't just another sermon. We want to make Jesus happy. How do we make Jesus happy? I think with gratitude and with a grateful heart. The person with a grateful attitude is able to influence people much more effectively. Amen? My father-in-law one time told me a story, and he didn't know I was going to share this, but he went into a local business. Forgive me, Dave. It's Christmas. And I'll never forget this because I knew the guy that the business that he went into. And by the way, this guy is no longer in business. I'll never forget my father-in-law was sharing me how he went in and he frequented this business. He had, you know, some things he needed repaired, and this gentleman was in the business too. But every time you went in, this wasn't just his experience. It was my experience and everybody that knew this guy had a very sour disposition in life. He was not great. He did not give you the impression that when you came into his place of business, he was grateful for you to be there. In fact, he'd kind of growl at you like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I got to be careful that I don't give his name. It was always just a kind of a grouchy response, kind of a grunt, and kind of bad day. I followed and said, "Wait, whoa, hold on here." He went in and spoke to him. Was happy that day and. The guy was his typical self. He said, hold it, wait a minute. We're gonna do this over. I hope I'm telling this right, Dave. He's a little nervous right now, by the way. He walks back out to his car as if he's getting back out of the car. He walks back in, comes in his happy self and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And the guy changed his attitude. Let me tell you something, folks. A grateful attitude, I mean, at its most base level, can produce some good business for you, or it can cause the doors to be shut down. Grateful people can affect other people and can influence them. By the way, the grateful person has a lot more friends. If you don't want friends, just don't be happy. Just don't be grateful. You won't have any friends. Now listen, I know this. Because sometimes you hear a message like this and someone is right in the middle of a problem that is very real. We have people in this congregation that are experiencing very real, difficult, and challenging circumstances. No one is discounting your circumstances in life or the difficulties that we can have in life. We're not doing that. No one's saying that your challenges are not very real. But I promise you this. You're going to come through the problem that you're having a lot quicker and more effectively than if you have a grateful attitude than if you don't. It's true. By the way, this is not just the preacher talking today. Medical science bears this out. Study after study tells us that grateful people recover from illnesses more quickly than those who are not grateful. Studies reveal that grateful people are more successful in life than those who are not grateful. Listen to this one, all married couples. Marriages fare much better in an atmosphere of gratitude. Come on, husbands and wives, express gratitude to one another. Not when you feel like it, because how many of you know sometimes you just may not feel like it? Well, I'll get to that later. I'm very grateful for what so-and-so's doing, but I'll get to that at another. Listen, are you listening to me? Husbands and wives, express gratitude for one another. Amen? Did you know that children are far more healthier and have more confidence and excel in life when raised in an atmosphere of gratitude? Did you know that? Come on, parents, make sure that your home, even though there's problems, even though there's challenges, maybe the economy has made things tough for you and your family, keep an attitude of gratitude in your home. Not only will the marriage do better, not only will the children do better, let me tell you who will inhabit your home when you have a grateful heart. God will come and He will dwell in your home when you express gratitude to one another. What did he say? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Listen to this verse. Because it describes what all of us should do. Not just on Christmas Day, but every day and in every circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ." If you belong to Christ, you know what Christ wants you to do and what will make Him happy, and I think what will make you in your life a whole lot better and happier? In all circumstances, He wants you to be thankful. You're not thanking Him because of the circumstances. You are thanking God in faith that the circumstances are going to get better because you're serving a God who's taking attention to your life. You are a believer and God is looking at you and is concerned about you. So what do? In all circumstances, you're thankful. You give the gift of gratitude. How many of you are hearing me today? Are you like me? Let's be real. I'm still working on this one just a little bit. But you know, people are searching for the will of God. People all over the world are saying, what is God's will for my life? And when they think about that, and they think about jobs, and they think about money, and they think about going places, what is the will of God for you? That you be thankful in all circumstances. That's what he said in this verse. This is the will of God for you. Gratitude, my friends, will open doors for you, doors of opportunity. Hey, will make a way for God to do a new thing in your life. So what are we going to do this Christmas? I pray that we all agree that we're going to bring the gift of gratitude first to God, and when we do it to God, let me tell you, we're gonna spread it to the other. We're gonna spread the wealth of gratitude to the other people around us. Can I hear a great big amen today? Oh, I just happen to have another gift here. How many of you like gifts? I like gifts. Got to make sure I get the right one. Oh, here's another one. Let me do the grandkid thing. Oh, that's what my grandson does. By the way, they wanted to know. My grandchildren came in and gave me a big hug. They want to know, who are those gifts for? I said, they're for Jesus. I'm going to tell you another gift. And oh, I want you to hear me today. Because to me, this is what Christmas is all about. I believe if we're going to make Jesus happy, we need to present to Jesus the gift of worship. The gift of worship. Oh, I long for the day that we have more opportunities like this to get away from all the trappings of Christmas and just come together and worship the Lord. Now, here's something very interesting that I noticed in the Christmas story. Not only did the wise men bring gifts, but as they were bringing these gifts, they presented them as they worshiped the Lord. Now, there are three references of the wise men and their desire to worship the newborn child in this story that we just read. I've got a question for you today. I want you to think, and I want you to be very honest in your own heart. And this applies to every one of you. Did you know that every one of you within the sound of my voice today, did you know that you are a worshiper? Think about that. You are a worshiper. What do you mean, preacher? I don't. Now listen, I'm kind of a macho guy, and don't put that worship stuff on me, and don't try to turn me into some fanatic. I'm not trying to do any of that. But here's what I know. You and I are worshipers. In fact, it is placed within our DNA. Every one of us are worshipers. Why do you say that? Well, the anthropologists have noted that worship is a universal urge or desire. Listen to me. And I mentioned this last week because I think we need to emphasize this more and more during the Christmas season. They've noted that there is this urge and this desire. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. And I want to tell you, I have had the privilege of traveling to some of the most wonderful countries in the world. I love America. I am an American. And by the way, let me just say, please forgive me if you're our guest today. I am a Texan. And if you were to cut me open, I would bleed Texas. Those little painted stars like Texas with the Lone Star and the red, white, and blue, I'm telling you, they just come flooding out of my heart. But I've been to some of these other countries. I've been to Pakistan. I've been to India. I've been to Israel. I've been to Thailand, and I consider one of the greatest privileges of my life. And it doesn't matter where you go. I've been down to the southern regions of Mexico. Wherever you go and you see this, there is an urge and there is a desire to worship God in places where they've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They are worshiping something. Yeah, that's right for all those places, and we commonly refer to them as third world nations. No, let me tell you, they're developing nations. I'm going to tell you, I found some hungry worshipers worshiping God in some of these places unlike anything I've ever seen in America, anywhere in America. I've seen people who lived in southern Mexico in cardboard houses that worship God more than any American Christian I've ever met. Oh, beloved, we are blessed. But see, people are not convinced that they are a worshiper. You are a worshiper. Here's what else the anthropologists have observed, that each human being has been hardwired by God and they have a built-in need to connect with God. I am convinced that whatever a person is involved in, if it doesn't include God, what they don't realize is, because it's in their DNA, they are searching for God. They're searching for a connection with God. Don't get turned off of God by your bad experiences in church and with some people that call themselves Christians. By the way, let me just say something about Christians. They're just flawed people too. Just because somebody's a born-again believer doesn't mean they're perfect. They've still got problems. I'm still overcoming things all the time and have to re-overcome some things if I'm not careful in life. But I know this. If we fail to worship God, we'll always find a substitute. Always. And if we don't find God, guess what? Guess what the substitute is that we'll worship? It'll be ourselves. See, in America, we don't go and worship idols. See, people, when you talk about other countries, say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the temples in Thailand, and I'm familiar with those wooden things that I've seen on National Geographic, those idols. But we don't think we're worshiping anything in America. Let me tell you, we've been worshiping money for so long in America, it's unreal. We've been worshiping power and success and greed and all kinds of things. And there's nothing wrong with success, and there's nothing wrong with money. But when it gets misplaced, that's when it becomes an idol. You are a worshiper. You will worship something, as I will. And I think the God that we're serving now in America is just self. What I want. What I like. What I care about. Oh, how about what God cares about? See, I think we want to make Jesus happy today. Amen. Are you with me today? Well, let me just tell you, God is seeking for worshipers. And it's not because God has such a big ego that He must have His people worship Him. But here's what John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says. It says, but the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen to this. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is a spirit. So those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Why would I talk about giving the gift of worship to God today? Why would I talk about worshiping Jesus on His birthday? Because, beloved, let me tell you, you've got that design to worship. Let me tell you what worship does. Worship connects you to God. Why does God want worshipers? Why is God looking for worshipers today? Because God wants to connect with you. God wants to be your friend. God wants to be your encourager. He wants to be your business partner. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be connected with you so He can bless you. Come on, let's give God a big amen. He wants to connect with you. And so, what do you say we make a dedicated decision today to be a worshiper of God? And my third and final gift today, let's see what we have in this bag. I'm losing the art of my grandchildren. Maybe I should have had them help me here. Oh, this is a good one. Notice I saved the biggest one for last. Are you still with me today? How about the gift of dedication? How about the gift of dedication? And when I talk about a dedicated life, I want you to hear me. Stay with me just a little bit longer. I'm talking about a life dedicated to fulfilling God's purpose in the earth. And I want to bring this home today. Because the whole reason that Jesus came to the earth was this. It was to rescue mankind from their sins. How many of you know that? That's why He was born. There is no other reason. Sure, I enjoy the gift exchange. I love the build-up to Christmas. I love the Christmas lights. I like everything about it. In fact, Tracy and I drive around all the time looking for Christmas lights. We just love to look at them. But I want to tell you, the whole reason Jesus was born is so that God could rescue mankind from their sins. That's why. Oh, hear me. That's why we should celebrate His birth, because He came to the earth to be born as a little baby. But let me tell you, it doesn't stop there in the manger, folks. Let me tell you, Jesus lived on the earth 33 years, and then He went to the old rugged cross, and there our sins were put upon Him. He had a crown placed upon His head so that we could have peace in life, and they pierced Him through so that we could have our sins forgiven. It didn't stop at the manger. It went all the way to the cross. And then it went on from that grave where he resurrected from that grave. Why did he do this? He did it all for us. He did it for you and he did it for me. I want to make sure, as Mark's coming, that this morning we remember the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. Listen to this verse. 2 Peter 3 and 9 said, the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise. You know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, I thought the Lord was going to come before the world got so bad, and they're looking for His promises. But it says, He's really not being slow about His promises as some people think. Listen to this. He is being patient for your sake. And here's why God is being patient right now. Some of you wonder, why is God allowing and permitting all the evil in the world that's going on? And why does the Bible indicate that it's going to get worse and worse? Oh, hear me. Here's what Peter said. Because he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Why is God holding off? Why is He allowing rape and murder and greed and death and disease? Because He doesn't want people to be destroyed and He doesn't want them to perish. And that includes you and that includes me. That includes your children. That includes my children and my grandchildren and my additional grandchildren. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. And I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm going to make one comment. The Bible says there is a hell to be shunned and heaven to be gained. And you don't have to be perfect to get there. It's not about working to get to heaven. It's not about how good you are. That's why Jesus came. That's why the little baby was born in the manger. God sent His Son to take our sins, my sins, upon Himself so that we could have a relationship with Him. And so we wouldn't have to ever think about hell. But I want to say one other thing in closing. How many of you know when a preacher says he's closing, that really doesn't mean a thing? Please listen to me. Please listen to me. My wife's down here telling me the time. He doesn't want any of us to be destroyed. And Jesus not only had to be born, but He had to die, so that you and I could be saved for all eternity. Now please listen, I've got just a few more minutes. Oh man, my heart is just about to leap out of my chest. Because I want you to get this. He needs you. And He needs me to help others in this process of finding God. I tell you, I have a conviction. And I'll tell you, it's based in the Bible. Once we've experienced the salvation experience, I'm going to tell you why God leaves us on this earth. And oh, how I pray that you hear me. It is to help other people be rescued from their sin. I thought that was the preacher's job. No, it's every Christian's duty and calling. The Great Commission says that we each are to go into the world that God has put us in. Whatever world that is. Sometimes we need to go back to phase number one there and give the gift of gratitude so we can recognize God had us somewhere so we can help people instead of complaining all the time. A dedicated life means that I want to do God's will, and that by His grace and by His enablement, I will do His will and not mine. It's not always easy to say, not my will, but yours be done, God. But that's why we're here. That's why once we're born again, we have come to know God and have a relationship with Him. That's the reason He leaves us on the earth. Why else? So we can experience misery and problems and heartache and poverty. And no, it's to help humanity. This is what it means to have a dedicated life to the purpose and will of God. And I'm telling you, folks, I believe this makes Jesus happy when His people, in a new and a fresh way, say, God, though I may be rejected, though I may go through hardships, I may go through trials, I want to help the people in my world that You have put me around to find You. And folks, let me just tell you this. This thing called life is going to be over sooner than we realize. And let me tell you what real success is. Real success is plundering hell and populating heaven. And that's you and I as an individual doing that. This is why Jesus came, folks, to save mankind. And he's telling us today, if you want to make me happy, not just today, go into your world and by the help of the Holy Spirit, make a difference. But beloved, to be real with you, this takes a dedicated life. It doesn't take a perfect life, but it takes a dedicated life. And I believe this kind of dedication makes Jesus happy. Folks, do you really believe that Jesus can be saddened? I can tell you, Jesus is saddened by the poverty that is going on in this world. I saw a story, and this is a true story, just this morning. I mean, I just wept. There was an elderly lady that was giving a testimony of her life, and now she's found Christ. But this elderly lady was in an orphanage growing up. And the only gift that she ever received was one day when some Christians came in and gave her a little doll. It was a nice-sized doll. And she was so grateful. But she said, "This is the only gift, oh Lord, help us, that I ever received in my entire life until this other group of Christians came and started giving me gifts." And she went into her bedroom, this is a true story, and she got this little doll that she still has and that she values to this day. And she brought it out and she said, "The people that gave this to me will never know what this meant to me. This is my one and only precious gift that I ever received. My God, we are blessed." You know what God's saying today as we stand? Please stay with me. You know what God's saying? You know what God is saying? God is saying, "I have given my one and my only Son that you might have life." And I believe he's saying, let's go and take that another step. Folks, if we don't share the gospel, who is going to share it? Who is going to share it? You know the number one reason people don't share their faith? It's fear. Fear of being rejected, fear of saying something that would not be proper. Come on, folks, God will help you. God has a way of taking the words and translating them to someone's heart in the way that they need them. I believe, and by your response, that you want to make Jesus happy today. Not just today, but every day. How do we do this? Well, we get up in the morning and instead of saying, "Good Lord, it's another one of those days," we get up and we say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day." We give God the gift of gratitude. I promise you'll go a whole lot further with gratitude than you will any other way. And then what about the gift of worship? How many of you know, really, when if you're going to be a worshiper, gratitude has to be a part of it. Gratitude is the starting place. And then you abandon your life to God in the way that He directs you. How many of you know, your every moment of every day is an act of worship? And so I want to give Jesus the gift of worship, but not only that, I want to give Jesus a dedicated life. I want to give Him the gift that He's given me, and I in turn want to give that to others. Are you with me today? Can I just take a moment and pray for us on this Christmas day, because my time is just about up. I've got 1 minute left to pray for you. And I want to do that. But with all sincerity, let's open our hearts up to God. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy life, my friends. Enjoy what the venture that God has for you. But keep the purposes of God in the forefront of your mind and always try to do what is best. I'm praying now. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone who's in this audience today. Lord, those that will receive this by way of radio and those who will join us on the internet, would you bless your people today? Would you strengthen the hurting heart? There are people who are hurting here today. Lord, they are battling diseases in their body. And Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus, they're going to win. Lord, there are some here that Lord, came and have no family this season. Would you encourage them? Would you fill our heart with joy? And Lord, help us realize, thirdly, why we're here. Lord, that in the spite of what's going on in our lives, that you want us to carry the good news and you want us to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus around the world. And so we thank you for that and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.